1 Corinthians 12 tells us that one of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. As we differentiate, there's a difference between discernment and discerning of spirits. Discernment is a quality, an attribute of the spirit man. Our spirit man discerns. But that is different from the gift of discerning of spirits, or a manifestation, as 1 Corinthians 12 calls all the gifts, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is discerning of spirits. Basically, discerning speaks about the ability to see into the spirit world. And primarily, it is visual. But we do understand that sometimes people can discern through all the other five senses, spiritual senses, that is, could be not just the sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, or the sense of touch, and or the sense of hearing. And so these are ways that people can discern into the realm of the spirit, or understand or see or make contact with the spirit world. This is a gift that enables a person to see the spirit world, not necessarily the ability to just see demons or the negative realm of the spirit world, but it also applies to visions of Jesus, visions of God, visions of angels. So it can be positive or negative, and sometimes God does enable you to see both working, the angels working or demons trying to obstruct, so that you have an overall knowledge of what goes on in the spirit world. We understand that, of course, the spirit world is going on all the time. And sometimes people ask a question which Roland Bach asked Michael the archangel when he appeared to him in the book The Man Who Talked with Angels, or Angels on Assignment. And he says, how come there are not many angelic activities going on? And at first, in that vision he had, Michael the archangel sounded surprised at his question. Then he realized that it's because he was depending on recorded events. And so he says, they are working all the time, except that sometimes it's revealed to us, sometimes it's not. And right now, as we speak, angels are working. The spirit realm is active all the time. It's always in a state of flux. And our prayers do make a lot of difference every day. Spending time with God and being near to God, the Bible says that the angels encamp around those who fear God. So the very way you live your life does make a difference in the angelic activities around you. And this is the gift that makes contact with the spirit world. And we want to first outline it in this way, that there are three types of vision. Three types of vision. One is called the open vision. Second, the closed vision. And third, the inner or spiritual vision. The open vision is where your spiritual eyes are open through this gift of discerning of spirits, and you can see both the spirit world and the natural world about you. So it's open in that you can see everything. Your physical eyes are open and your spiritual eyes are open. Mm-hmm. And like right now, if you have an open vision of an angel, then what you will be doing is you will see the angel right here. And at the same time, you can see the people around you, the chairs and all the physical things around you. That is an open vision. A closed vision is where you only see the spirit world and your physical eyes, although they may be open, all their functions are closed. And you have no consciousness of the physical world. In fact, it's almost like Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, he doesn't know. And in fact, possibly you could be under a trance or slain in the spirit, and you lose total consciousness of your physical body, and all you're conscious of is what goes on in the spirit world. That is a closed vision. An inner vision is where you don't see the spiritual world until you actually physically close your eyes. And that is very clear. It is almost like an inner vision, where sometimes people call it mini vision or flash visions. It's almost like seeing something in your imagination, in the projection screen of your imagination. And you know that it's beyond your imagination because it's not something you try to produce. But yet it hits you and you know it's there. You're conscious of what you see in the eyes of your imagination. That's called an inner or spiritual vision. Let's have some Bible examples here of what's going on. In the book of Acts, Peter was in prison, and while he was waiting, and in fact they sentenced him to death, an angel came to him and opened the prison doors in chapter 12 of Acts. This is an example of an open vision. In Acts chapter 12, in verse 5, Peter was kept in prison and constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. When Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. Now, behold, discerning of spirits happened in his life. He saw an angel. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourselves and tie on your sandals," and so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him. Apparently he can see the prison. He saw the chains fell off, and he was led by the angel out of the prison. That is an open vision that he had. There is no real revelation given here. It doesn't mean that when you see the spirit world, or you have discerning spirits, that necessarily there is a special revelation that's delivered to you. Sometimes it's like Peter's case, a case of deliverance or protection. And I know sometimes people have seen angels protecting people and all these encounters. And remember that whether you see them or not, they're always there. Don't judge them by their presence or absence, by the fact that you see them. They are always there. Now, this discerning of spirits is not something that you could initiate or you could try to force it to come to pass. You can ask God for that gift, but it's up to God whether He wants to show you the spirit world. And for reasons that are known to God, as far as I know, it's because we need to develop faith. See, if all the time you see the spirit world, you don't have to exercise faith. And so, for that reason and for our growth, we do not see the spirit world all the time. You have to have faith that it is there. And it's up to God whether He wants to give us a vision. That's an open vision. A closed vision, a person actually enters into a trance-like state. And that's in the book of Acts, chapter 10. There's one example there. In Acts chapter 10. And that's Peter praying on the housetop in verse 9. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. While they made ready, he fell into a trance. It's almost like falling into the realm of the spirit. Now, the visions that John, the apostle, received in the book of Revelations, most probably were received with closed visions, when he was caught up into the spirit realm. And so most probably it was also a closed vision. Now, here's an example. He fell into a trance. I know the word trance doesn't convey necessarily a nice religious picture, because when Christians talk about trance, especially in Asia, they're talking about the non-Christian religions. And the reason for that is maybe because Christianity has gone so much in as an intellectual religion, and we are not so much aware of the supernatural anymore. And so when we talk about trance, we only think that it's only the evil spirit world that has trances. And we don't realize that men or women of God can go into trance very deep into the spirit, where they just are in the spirit all the time. It is possible that what Moses experienced on Mount Sinai was a trance-like state that his body entered into, and possibly his body was in a state of suspended animation for 40 days and 40 nights, because all of us know scientifically that the physical body cannot exist longer than approximately 3 days without water. He existed for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. That's supernatural. So he may have entered into a state in the spirit in which his body was just on hold while he experienced all those things and commandments and visions of God up on Mount Sinai. And this is a trance-like state. Something does happen to the physical body. It shuts down. It's almost like in a sleep state. Not necessarily having a person fall under the power of sleep, but there is a trance-like state, not to the level where a person is asleep or subconscious or unconscious, but the level where all the physical consciousness disappears, replaced by only a spiritual consciousness. And the person could even be standing, could even be sitting, not necessarily falling under the power. Possibly in this case, Peter was just kneeling and praying, and he was in a trance. He saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down on the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done 3 times, and the object was taken into heaven. And in verse 17, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the man who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate. And that's a close vision that we have. And inner vision is just praying and discerning of spirits. You could see it into the spirit realm. You're still conscious of your physical senses, but it's more deep inside your heart, deep inside your spirit, like in the eyes of your imagination. And you see very clearly the spirit realm. And for those who don't experience the first two, sometimes a lot of people experience the third, because in the third, it's very close to the spirit man seeing. That's why more Christians sometimes experience that, an inner vision. Because it's close to the eyes of your spirit man seeing something. So this is a working of the gift of discerning of spirits. And as far as examples in the Bible in this area, there are many records of visions here in the Bible. But it's not clear whether they are seeing it open vision or they are seeing it with the eyes of their spirit sometimes. Like, for example, in the book of Acts, as Stephen was about to die, he looked up in the book of Acts. And the passage that we're looking at is towards Acts chapter 7, verse 55. And he that is Stephen, Acts 7, verse 55, he being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now that could have been an open vision, or that could have been an inner vision. We do not know. And some of the records in the Bible, what the people see, it's very hard to divide between the open or the inner because they didn't mention. Unless they mention that it's in their heart that they see it, then you would know. But he says, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Because all the people, all the other people did not see. Whether he just saw it in the eyes of his spirit or he saw it physically. Now, it doesn't mean that the inner vision is less real. It is as real. In fact, Kenneth Hagin in the book, little booklet called How to Write Your Own Ticket with God, where he saw Jesus and Jesus appeared to him, talked to him about different things, and Jesus was going out. He asked Jesus about some sermons that he was trying to get but his spirit cannot receive, and Jesus gave him a 4-point sermon. And that vision that he had was an inner vision, which means that when he opened his eyes, he didn't see Jesus anymore. And at one point, when Jesus said, alright, write 1, 2, 3, 4, he opened his eyes, went to get the paper, and then came back to the same position and got ready to write. When he opened his eyes, he can't see Jesus anymore. And he got a piece of paper, got down, and then closed his eyes, and then he saw Jesus again. And so unless the person experiencing the vision tells you, describes it, it's sometimes not sure, clear whether it's an open or inner vision because both you're conscious of your physical surrounding. The only difference is this. When the inner vision is just something that you see in the canvas of your spirit man. And you stand to see it clearer with your eyes closed than with your eyes open. Because sometimes opening your eyes tend to be distracting. And if you want to experience more of this, sometimes when you're praying and you're spending time with God, and of course if you have no fear of the dark or anything, and you just switch off all the lights and everything, and just are there in a dark room all by yourself, you notice something when you're praying, that the whatever is in the canvas of your spirit tends to come out clearer. Because you can't see any physical thing around you. And for some people, especially non-Christians, they found it very hard to be alone or very hard to be all shut up and isolated in that area. But for Christians who have fellowship with God and the spirit realm and angels, it will be a fantastic time for spiritual retreat. You can just spend your time with God and just in the spirit dimension. Because your physical man can be bound, but your spirit man is still loose. Right, we got to go to the other introduction here on the discerning of spirits and how it can come. It can also come when you are asleep. And that we classify it as coming in a dream form. And there are three types of dreams that are possible. One is a direct dream. There is no need for interpretation. It just tells you like it is. Example of a direct dream is in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. And in case you don't realize it, that Jesus' life was protected primarily through dreams given to Joseph. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20. It's interesting that Mary has a vision of the angel, but Joseph received the vision of the angel through a dream. And here Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. While he thought about these things, and then he must have fallen asleep, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. No interpretation needed. The angel appeared in a dream to him. Right? It's not symbolic, not allegorical, but just a direct message that came through a dream. That happened to Joseph several times. In fact, when he went back to Egypt, he was led by dreams a few times in chapter 2, verse 19. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And that also was a dream in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. So Matthew 2, verse 13 was the second dream he had. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word." So the dream sent him to Egypt. And then in Egypt, in verse 19, the dream, the angel appeared to him in a dream and sent him back again to Israel. So dreams have protected Jesus when he was a little baby. So don't underestimate dreams. You say, "Oh, it's just a dream." I mean, our modern world of worldview of dreams has been too much influenced by people like Carl Jung Freud, yeah, Sigmund Freud, and it's something produced from inside us. Basically, that's what they're saying, rather than something externally coming to us. But that's not what the Bible view is. Now, we do have a place for the inside too, which is the third category. There are three categories of dream: direct, allegorical, or personal. And so the direct dream, no need interpretation, is just a spirit man and spirit world encountering you while you were asleep. If it's an angel, there's an angel giving you a message. And it could be demonic too. And sometimes you understand and you discern this demonic world as it is through a dream. It could be, number two, allegorical. Allegorical is tougher to interpret, but it is possible. Example of that is in Daniel's life. All his dreams were allegorical. And in the Old Testament, sometimes a dream is called, interestingly, a vision of the night. So the Jews regard dreams as visions of the night. In fact, most of his visions were dream, except a few. In chapter, looking over in chapter 7, verse 1. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. And he wrote down the dream. And we all know the dream is about these four creatures: the lion, the bear, the lion that had eagle's wings, and then there was a bear, and then there was a leopard, and then there was this fourth beast that came about. Obviously, it's not a literal direct dream. It's an allegorical symbolic dream, and it needs interpretation. Other dreams, then he had a vision in Daniel chapter 8, and from time to time you find that he has different visions and different understanding of different things. A lot of it are allegorical. Now, these three areas, allegorical, can apply also to visions. We talk about how the visions come. The how of it is can be open vision, closed vision, or inner vision. But we did not need to say what the vision is. The vision can be direct message. It can be allegorical. So, the same interpretation will apply when it comes to allegorical as in dreams. And I'll describe it afterwards in the second session, interpretation. But the third area in which how dreams can come to us is what I call personal. Now, in direct dreams and allegorical dreams, the message is coming from outside to us, delivered from the spirit world. And that message could be a message from God, could be the spirit world found an avenue to contact us through our dreams. And that is the first two types. I know that a lot of scientific research has been done on dreams, and when you're dreaming, scientists classify the state of sleep that you have to be REM sleep, rapid eye movement. And in fact, all your physical functions are, and your brain wave is as if you were awake. And it seems that our body goes from a state of consciousness into a state of complete shutdown. Then it actually turns itself on again, except that you're fully unconscious. And all your functions are as if you were awake. The brainwave patterns and everything, REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. And so that third category is what they have. And we have an answer to the question of them testing animals. And recently, scientists found that rats and animals do dream. And they dream about their daily activity. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes for a moment. Right? And the book of Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it tells us here about dreams that have taken place, and way in chapter 5. Verse 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is heard by his many works. So there is a natural state of the brain which causes dreaming. It comes from much activity. But look at Job 33 as we close. Job chapter 33. And this is what it says. In the book of Job 33, passage that we have is verse 14 to 18. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of man and seals the instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So there's a divine intervention in dreams in Job 33 here, which we'll look at in our next session. Let's pray. Father,